time for the In the Conversation podcast with funny man Damian Lemon and the voice of your choice, Ali Muhammad.
Yeah, this is Damian Lemon.
This is Ali Muhammad.
And this is In the Conversation,
the podcast.
We are back again. Still in self-quarantine, still in the separate studio, still trying to make it through this pandemic.
No doubt.
We kicking it, you know. This week, we have a very special guest in the conversation, you know, to chop it up. A very funny, very accomplished comedian who has been getting busy for a long time. I've seen her on the scene quite a bit. She's been on Conan. She's been on Ferguson. She's been on Fallon. She's been on Colbert. She's been on Letterman. And I might have forgotten another white dude, but she's been everywhere. I want y'all a round of applause. Give it up for Carmen Lynch in the building. Carmen, what's good?
Thank you. God, that was such a nice intro.
I should
listen to something like that. It'll keep my self-esteem up.
Oh, shit. I hear you. You know. It's right there on Wikipedia. I'm chilling. Yo, good to have you. Good to have you in the building. How you doing? How you holding up in the midst of all of this?
It's pretty nuts. I'm in Virginia now. I was up in Connecticut for a while, but I decided to come see my parents. My dad turns 80 today.
Oh, wow.
So,
birthday.
Yeah.
You know, it's a big deal. I wanted to see him before COVID gets bad again.
Right. A little COVID halftime. Oh, shit.
Exactly.
Did y'all have to heavy social distance? How'd y'all celebrate 80 in the COVID era?
Night, but I mean, everything, we've got masks. I mean, I've been here enough that they know I don't have it.
Okay.
But you know, my parents are actually pretty, they like do their own shopping and stuff. And I'm constantly like, I'll go, you know, right. You guys shouldn't leave. And they're like, no, we want to leave the house. I'm like, all right. I mean, right. They made it this far, so maybe they know what they're doing. I don't know.
Yeah. We did it 80 years. Ain't that the shit? Yeah.
Can't tell me what to do.
You know? Shit, exactly. I've been here.
Well, I think for 80-year-olds, they, you know, going to the supermarket is like a workout, so it's good for them.
Uh-huh. Right.
You know, right. So they're like, no, we got to do our walk to the aisle of the apples, you know?
I hear that. That's my workout. I'm not even going to lie to you. That's probably as aggressive as my cardio gets. Is going to associate it for 20 minutes and then hoping I didn't catch that shit. Yeah, man. That's about it for right now. Walk around the block. You know what I mean? That's about it. I haven't gotten the bike yet.
Is there any part of you that thinks you already had it? Because there's a part of me that thinks that early March, I was feeling like crap for about 5 days. Uh-huh. And I kind of want to get that antibody test just to see if I was right, you know?
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I think, go ahead. Were you about to say, Ali?
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
I don't know if I, from what, this is the thing. I would have, maybe 2 weeks ago, if you'd have asked me that, I'd have thought about that. I don't remember being super duper sick. You know what I'm saying? Doing comedy, you'll do shows and you'll have a cold, you know what I'm saying? But it wasn't, from what I'm hearing about COVID, and I know a few people that have been through it, that shit sounds like something that I definitely haven't experienced. And then I got a couple friends of mine that took the antibody test, and they were kind of, you know, probably out in the world more than I was, and they didn't catch the shit. So I don't know. I'm not even sure. Yeah, I'm not sure yet.
But that,
so you
Damon,
think you might have had it though.
Damon, you lost your sense of smell though.
Oh, I did. Yeah, I did. But that was for like, yeah, I did lose my sense of smell and I got scared to the motherfucker. I'm not going to lie to you. I lost that shit for about 6 days. Nothing else happened, but I definitely lost my sense of smell for 6 days.
Well, maybe that's the only symptom you had.
Right.
It could have been. I mean, look, I'd rather... I know somebody with the antibody test. I've been kind of slow to move on it. I might check it out. I might check it out and see what's what, because that's a little better than the actual COVID test. That COVID right. tester, I don't even want no problems with that. I don't. That shit looks too invasive.
See, so for me, you know, I think about that sometimes, whether or not did I have it. I think back to like January when I was feeling really sluggish, or, you know, late February, you know, and I slept a lot, a couple of days.
Right.
But then I'm just thinking I probably got like the contact high COVID. You know what I'm saying? Not the real thing. Just like
right.
COVID light.
Yeah, COVID light. Just, you know, I smelled some of it, but it didn't really catch in. I ain't really get a good inhale, you know?
Uh-huh.
Your body was like, fuck this, and then got rid of it like in like 3
Yeah, so I don't feel like I actually got a full dose of it. I probably just got a whiff.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, man. So that shit is.
Yeah, I mean, we're going to have this for a while, so who knows?
Yeah.
How'd you go to VA? Did you drive or you flew?
Sorry, what?
How did you get to Virginia? Did you drive or you flew?
Oh, I took the train. I was actually I was with my boyfriend and his family from like March 15th all the way to June 15th.
Wow.
And I never left the house, you know, and I mean, he's got these trails behind his brother. His brother's house has like these little trails and stuff. So I did go outside, but when I left, I had never like left the house, and I took the train station at Amtrak.
Wow.
And it was creepy because it was so quiet, and it went through Penn Station.
Mm-hmm.
And Penn Station was all shut down except for the train. Like there was no food or anything. So I had about an hour to kill before I had to jump back on the train to go to Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
And I went outside and it was like that Will Smith movie. It was so quiet.
Damn. Yeah.
Legend.
You know, it was crazy. Yeah. But my car, when I got off the train, I mean, when I go to DC to get to my parents' house, and usually that's packed, and
right.
there were like me, 10 of us total who got off the train.
Wow. Hmm. Okay. So on
really,
the train,
really quiet. Yeah.
On the train, it was
what?
Pretty. So on the train, there wasn't really many people around. You could have like
not at all.
Oh, okay. That's not too bad then. All right.
Yeah. You know, it was annoying because this couple sat right in front of me, and I hate it. Does that ever happen to you, like on the train
or
the subway or whatever, where
like
it's all empty and they sit right next to you, and I'm
right.
like, it's COVID.
I'd have had to say something.
Cough on you just so you leave.
Right. Did you say anything? Did you cough? What happened? Did you just let it fly?
No, I was just annoyed. I just kind of, I'm trying to be a good citizen, and just, you know,
it.
I left them there. And then they got off before me, so it's not like they were there that long. But
yeah. It's tricky out here these days.
It's tough.
It sure is.
It's tough as shit. I'm still. How you feeling? I'm still a little reluctant about jumping all the way into the world. I'm a little concerned about that too. I'm not gonna lie to you. But
Are you doing gigs? Are you doing stand up anywhere?
No, not in the real
Me
world.
Neither.
Nah. I did a couple Zoom shows like at the top of the pandemic, but then I kind of fell back off of that. I've started to see them. I mean, how you feeling about it? What you thinking?
I mean, it makes me stand up because I have so much time to be with myself, and it's a little much. Like, I love the distraction of like, oh, I have to go to, you know, LA today, or I have to go to wherever today. And then
right.
you just, you know, that eats up your day. Even if the airport sucks, it's like an activity. It's an action.
Yeah.
And then I find myself, you know, going like, what are you going to do today? What are you going to do today? What
Man.
Are you going to do today?
I feel you. I know,
have so much time.
That shit,
you know, it's
crazy. It is the worst. It's the worst. Just with idle time. This was the only thing I had to do today, and this shit felt like it took forever for this to arrive. Like, this shit, I feel like I've been up for 3 days waiting to have this conversation. It is dead. Yeah.
It's crazy, but I've done like I'm starting to read books again.
Uh-huh.
I used to read all the time, and then I just got busy with stand-up, and I was like reading off my phone. But I have so many like paper books, you know, just paperback books.
Yeah.
And there's so many classics that I've never read.
Uh-huh.
And so I'm like, you know what? I should myself all I can.
Right. How's that going? Are you getting through them or what you doing? You just cracking them or are you getting through them?
Yeah, I mean, slowly, but like, I don't want to spend all of quarantine saying that I watch Netflix the whole time.
Right.
So
right.
I'm still writing a couple of jokes here and there, but I am reading and I've been biking and doing yoga and stuff. So, okay. You know, I'm trying to do stuff that I don't usually do.
I can dig it. I hear that. Ali out here.
I cooked a whole turkey. I cooked a 17-pound turkey.
Oh,
never
shit.
Done that my whole life, you know?
Yeah, yeah, that's
so
kind of wild.
So I can mark that off my bucket list.
So you Thanksgiving ready.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. You just went through the rehearsal.
Yeah. Ready.
Yeah.
November. It's going down.
I didn't realize you could shove so much stuff inside a turkey. Like, there's just a big hole in there, and you could just shove anything you want in there. You know, I'm shoving onions and celery and carrots and all kinds of stuff.
All types of shit, huh?
That's my boring life.
Bees that way sometimes.
That's crazy. I've never cooked a turkey before. That's 17 pounds is a whole lot. I know I cooked a whole chicken a few months ago. And it's probably the first time I ever really cooked a whole chicken, like roasted that shit. And
yeah, exactly.
When you hold a chicken, one that, you know, there's a lot you could stuff it with, but when you hold a chicken, that shit feels like you're holding a baby. Like you could really feel like you're killing something. Like typically I'm so disconnected from, obviously, you know, this meat, you know, used to live before it was your food. But I'm so disconnected from it. It's, you know, it's thighs, legs, you know, drums, whatever. But when you got the whole shit and you holding it, you cradling it in your hands, about to put it in a roasting pan, you're like, oh, I'm a killer. this is not good. This is horrific.
And you have to like wash it in the sink and stuff. Yeah, it's like washing a baby. Yeah.
Right before slaughter. Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Oh,
and then like making sure it doesn't slip out of your hands.
Right.
You know, it kind of teaches you what you would be like as a parent.
Yeah, I guess so. I guess so, yeah. Everything except the oven part, you know. That's a little
extreme. Hopefully, you know, some people do that, but
right, you know.
I don't think you would.
Nah, I don't think so. Not at this point. Oh shit.
Nah.
So you did. So you were at your boyfriend's family's house for 3 months strong. How was that?
That's a lot to spend with your boyfriend's family. Like, I know why he is the way he is now, you know? I know why he drank so much for a while. Oh, I know all of his problems because I can see them. This is supposed to be funny and it sounds very serious.
I see
the issues that, you know, because you only know your own family,
right.
You know?
Right.
But when you're like the only person in the house who's not part of the family, mm-hmm. and you're looking in, you're like, oh shit, I get it. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah. I see why you like that. Damn, that's
fine. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh shit. How was it though? Was it enough space? Was it like, were y'all getting on each other's nerves at the well? How did y'all like gel? Was that your first time being with them for that long or even meeting them? What was the context?
I mean, I've spent weekends with them, but, you know, this was more like a commune. Like, this was, you know, who's cooking? We're cooking on Mondays and Fridays. You're cooking on Tuesdays and Thursdays. Hey, it's your trash day. Hey, you got to clean the bathroom today. I mean, it almost felt like a fraternity, but, like, there was no drinking. Because nobody drinks in his family.
Oh, no.
And I drink, but I don't drink. Hello. Are you still there?
Yeah, you broke up.
Yeah, we have. You broke up. You don't drink when? Well, you say you drink, but you don't drink.
I drink every once in a while. I don't drink a lot.
Right.
But you know, every once in a while, I was like, damn, I could really use some wine right now.
Right.
You know, so then I came to my parents' house, and the first thing I did, I was like, hey, mom and dad, because they always have wine in the house.
Right.
So I was like, what up?
Well,
and then, you know, I just, it's a big jump to go from eight people you know.
Yeah, you should have did like my wife when she goes to my dad's house, who's a Muslim. Mm-hmm. She buys her wine on the way in and leaves it in the car and then goes sits in the car and drinks her wine.
Really?
That's hilarious. Yeah.
So whenever she's ready to drink her wine, she'll go sit in the car and drink wine.
That is hilarious.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Doing a pandemic dry is tough. That's gotta be crazy.
It's so tough. I mean, it's already tough, but it's
right.
And he's got a great family, but after a while you're like, where can I sit to just be alone? And most of the time that place was in the car, you know, so I would just sit in the car.
Oh,
and,
yeah,
like,
you got
I
it.
Did most of my Zoom shows. Mm-hmm. I did them in the car.
Yeah, now you just gotta pack you about a slot of bottle of wine in the car, a joint, whatever you get into.
Right.
And get into it.
That's a good life hack. That's a good life hack if this shit keep going. Oh, man. So anyway.
Yeah, but hopefully, we'll be, I don't know. I feel there's a part of me that feels like it'll never be normal again. They'll just be like a new normal.
Right.
You know?
Right. Yeah.
We don't have to shake people's hands. I mean, that's just kind of gross sometimes.
Yeah.
You know? Like some people have disgusting hands.
Yeah, that's kind of that is true. I think it's going to be fucked up for about 3-4 months, and then I just think human nature, people are kind of slowly slide back to what they're used to. You know, depending on how these cases go over these next few months. If there's no super big second wave, I think by December people will be doing dumb shit again. Back, you know what I mean? It'll be just as familiar as it was last December. We'll see. It's gonna be tough. You think you ready to get back on stage in front of people, like live, like not even as far as comedy goes, as far as your act, but just as far as health goes? Do you trust being in a fucking basement with 100 people closely?
I don't know.
Contained,
not talking not your 100% shit? Yet. Not at full capacity, you know?
Hello.
I mean, I have no problem waiting if it does the
Carmen,
right
you
thing.
There?
And, you know, I don't, there's no need to like rush into stand up right now. If
Muhammad, you there?
If we're not sure where the second wave is going to come. And, I'd rather just enjoy my summer, you know, write a bunch of stuff. Because even the stuff that I had before COVID, it just feels like a pre-COVID thing. It doesn't even feel like anything I want to talk about anymore.
Right. You know? Right. Yeah. Now there's so much shit going on. Yeah. Go ahead.
But
what are you about to say, Mark?
If stand up is what you love, and without it, it feels weird and things feel a little, you know, nervousy without stand up, you know, what's stopping you from jumping back to it?
That's a very good question. I guess I'm just trying to accept. Well, first of all, I don't have like a bunch of gigs. Like no one's calling me, and you know the phone's not ringing off the hook, and they're like, "You have to come here," you know.
Right.
So, but you know, I have been offered a couple things, and for me to just fly down to Florida and hope that like people show up for half the money, it doesn't.
Right.
I can wait.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No doubt. But once you drop the album, you know, shit will pick up.
Oh, yeah.
Vertically obese.
Yeah, it's going down.
Aha. Well, it went out today.
It came out. Yeah.
But that's, I think albums are just another excuse to like write more, you know, because you drop something, you dropped an album, that material's out there. So it just does kind of feel like a clean slate,
right? What album is this for you? Is this your first album, or is this how many albums have you put out?
This is the second one.
Okay. Now, did you plan on putting this out, or was it a situation where you were sitting there like, you know what? I might have to scrap a lot of shit. Like you said, some of this shit sounds so pre-COVID. Should I just get these to the people now, or like, what was the deal? What was the inspiration?
Well, I this late February. So COVID was already out.
Right.
This is from the Comedy Attic in Bloomington, Indiana.
Okay.
And I was already like for a while had been like, God, I need to do a new CD. I totally have enough material.
Right.
But then, you know, COVID started to happen. And then I was like, well, this is a great, I'd worked there before. I love the energy there. I love the people. So I just asked the club, since they'd already recorded other albums there, I'm like, can I just get it? You know, can you just hit record on your sound system and just, can I record it?
Right. Okay.
And they were like, sure. And so right after the weekend, they just sent it to me. And you know, it was four or five shows, but it's, you know, most of it is just from Saturday night. And then a couple of jokes that I didn't do Saturday night that I wanted to include. Uh-huh. I just had an engineer just like add them to the album. And then the very last track is like a bonus track in Spanish, because I do Spanish stand up. So I just had him add like, you know, four or five jokes, Spanish jokes to the end of it.
That's what's up. I know you do Spanish. I knew you were Spanish, but I didn't know you do Spanish stand up. Where do you do full Spanish shows anywhere or often or?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, most of them are in Spain. When I go visit my sister and my family, okay. I just go to the rooms there and do shows. I mean, I have an hour, but I haven't headlined a show. I've headlined, but you know, they have like I've done like 30 minutes, you know, and I'd love to put an album out in Spanish, but most of the shows are in Spain. And then I did some festivals in Costa Rica. And then I used to run a show in Manhattan, Washington Heights, in Spanish.
Where at? Oh, I think you told me that on 181st, right? At the
Yeah, 181st. It was a little Mexican place.
Right. I remember you telling me about that. Yeah, that's what's up.
Yeah, and we did a couple at the New York Comedy Festival at Gotham.
Okay.
And sold out that downstairs room at Gotham. And then we did some at this like. Place on, you know, near the cellar. It's a little bar. I forget what it's called. But so they've kind of been scattered. But, you know, there's a lot of comics that speak Spanish. So it's been pretty fun. You know, like we had Andrew Schultz stop by and do 5 minutes. You know, we've had a bunch of people that, you know, that have it in their family, like in their background. But then we have other people that are like, oh, I could do 5 minutes in Spanish.
Right. Yeah. No, I hear that. Yeah, Schultz is very proud of his Spanish. get excited about that. Do you see? So you're from Spain.
He's pretty good. I'm very impressed because I had no idea he spoke Spanish. And then when I told him about the show, I was like, do you want to do it? And he did. He said, yes, he did it. It was great.
Oh, that's what's up. What do you think the difference is between obvious, outside of the obvious, the language difference, but like, is there a timing difference? Is there anything that is significantly different when you perform in Spanish versus when you perform in English?
I mean, it really is the word order, because, you know, we flip words a lot. Like we might say, you know, a red shirt, and they say, their shirt is red.
Right.
So it's a lot of like, you know, flipping things. Right. And it's sometimes I used to kind of do it. Like I would write my jokes out at first when I started to do them in Spanish, I was like, but now it's just easier to just talk from my head. Just no preparing. It just sounds, it's just flows better. I sound more like I know what I'm talking about. Like,
right.
You know, it's almost like you can't over prepare for that muscle in your brain that you don't use. Like there's certain key words that I don't know because I grew up in Spain. So I know like elementary school Spanish and I'm fluent, but certain words like the lingo, and the lingo is different. Like maybe a Mexican says this and a Puerto Rican says that. And I grew up in Spain and we say it like this. So there's a lot of that. Which can be fun when they're like, what does that mean? They're like, we say, you know, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, I've never heard of that word before. Especially like body parts. They'll be like, there's like a million words for body parts in every language.
Right.
You know, and if you ask someone from a different Spanish country, they'll be like, well, that's how we say, you know, tomato soup. Like, it's a totally different thing.
Right. Damn.
Well, typically it works kind of like that piece that you had on your Instagram where you start with the bad words, you know, like you were teaching the big girl from Spain how to, what a douchebag was.
Oh, yes. Yes. She was like, douche? That's disgusting.
Like, why would anybody put vinegar in their pussy?
I love how Spanish people say pussy. Pussy? Pussy is the best.
That was funny.
Yeah, that whole lost in translation thing is the best. Because that's all she got out of that curse word was, wait a second, stop. You put vinegar in your pussy?
She was like, then only people that would eat your
vinegar in my pussy.
She was like, then only the people... Only the people that like salad would eat your pussy.
Yeah.
That's funny.
That's crazy.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, Muhammad, this stuff is fun.
What's good with you, Ali? What you been up with? How was Father's Day, man? Happy Father's Day and all of that.
Ah, man, Father's Happy Day Happy Juneteenth. Was great.
Yeah, how was it? Talk to me.
Juneteenth? You know what I'm saying? We had the Juneteenth. And Father's Day weekend. It was beautiful.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. So,
a lot of celebrating.
Yeah, a lot of celebrating. Black fathers. That's what this weekend was. Black fathers.
That's what's up. That's a big look.
So yeah, we did it big as you could do it in the house. You know what I'm saying? So,
right.
You know, my wife cooked a hell of a brunch and then we ordered a hell of a dinner and my kids, they worked out a day in the park, but we actually did that yesterday on Monday as opposed to on Father's Day. So we spent, you know, Father's Day in the house and then we went out to Brooklyn Bridge Park to kick it on yesterday.
It was cool, man.
It was cool. It was good. One, to get out and just sit in some grass. Well, we had the blankets, but sitting on the grass, watching the water, you know, sun was, you know, cresting. Heading to the sunset, the sky was beautiful and, you know, a pale pink. You know, it was a nice vibe.
You taking it in?
Really appreciate. Yeah, you taking it in, right?
Oh yeah. Now you notice all of the outside.
Yeah.
Before you were just cruising through, like whatever. Oh yeah, look at that sun over there. Okay.
You're like, I'm sweaty. This sucks. There's flies everywhere. It's hot. Like, oh, we're outside.
Yeah. So you know, then you wanna be a Karen to the non-social distancers and shit. So it was a group of, like, you know, clearly the sign said this space is for solitary people. You know what I'm saying? Just small groups of people doing small things.
Right.
And this group of people were doing like a baby shower or some shit, like a kid's birthday party.
Right.
And I'm like,
with no mask?
No mask, wine. They was getting it in. They had tables and shit. It was a real spread over there. I'm like, what the fuck?
Right.
Listen.
Oh, you know? Man.
So I didn't say much. I kept it moving and we just went all the way to the other side. Laid out our little situation.
Keep some distance. So, Carmen, how you feel about Karen?
Carmen, how do you feel about Karen?
Yeah.
Karen? Oh, well, first of all, I've always hated that name. So sorry if you have any Karen fans. Yeah, it's like it's one of those names that, like, oh, it's just so, it's so Karen. It really does. It's the perfect word for that. But it's like it's in a sense of entitlement. Fucking just do what you're supposed to do, and you know, just shut up. You're not more important than anyone else. Right. I mean, that's just a Karen.
So, yeah. Carmen, in your life, you are Spanish, like from Spain.
Yeah.
And how do you present since we can't see you?
I don't look Spanish at all. So people never know I'm Spanish.
So they think you're white.
they think I'm white, and I am very white. Mm-hmm. Like, my mom is the one from Spain, and her, she's one of six, and some of them have, like, get tan just walking outside for 10 minutes.
Right.
And some of them don't, and my mom doesn't. She's very light-skinned, so you that I'm Spanish. And I'm also very tall. I'm 6 feet tall. Whoa. So, you know, most Spanish people, I am, nobody's taller than me in my whole family. Like, my dad was the only one, and now he's probably like 5'11". So, I just don't look Spanish in any sense of the, you know, in any sense of the word. When I go to Spain, my family's like, oh my, they still talk about how tall I am. I'm like, you guys have seen me for years. Like, they're still like, we can't believe how tall you are.
Right. So, so in the midst of all of this is going on, Black Lives Matter, you know, people, we're fighting for, you know, an equal stand in this land. You know what I'm saying?
Of course, yeah.
Like, where do you fall? How do you fall in it? Because, you know, most people will take you for white, and, you know, you have different cultures in your blood. But how do you fall into this American society and what's going on now?
I mean, I'm a, you know, as everyone should, I'm shocked that people aren't that way. Like, if like compare, I can't speak for my Spanish family. I, you know, I come from a traditional background. My parents watch Fox News. They voted for Trump, you know, that kind of thing. But they're still good people. Right. You know, they just, that's just, they just don't like Joe Biden. They didn't like Hillary.
Right.
But they, you know, they're not as like, I'm all for like gay rights and rights for everyone. Whereas like, you don't really see that down here in Virginia so much.
Right. Mm. Right. Right.
You know, it's not, I mean, you do with the protests and I, you know, and every, there's, of course there's everything,
right.
But you know, I know how I,
right.
I had a, you live in a bubble sometimes until you get to a big city. I'm in the burbs, you know, right. You get to a big city and you're like, your life opens up.
Right.
You know, but I'm all, of course I'm all for equal rights for anyone, right. Everyone, but that's right. Just shouldn't even be a thing, you know?
Right.
It should, we shouldn't even try, like it should just have been like that years ago.
Right.
Forever.
Yeah, but it is. It's a thing.
So it's crazy. I mean, the Juneteenth thing, everyone's saying like, oh, I didn't know this until I watched Blackish. Well, I didn't know it either. It's not something they teach you in school. It's like, this is stuff that everyone needs to know, you know?
Right. Right. But 2 weeks ago, they didn't feel like we needed to know anything.
And you know, a lot of people are closed-minded in this world, in this right. country. A lot of people are very ignorant and they don't understand. And I think it's very sad, you know, when someone says, oh, it's not Black Matter, I think they're missing the point,
right?
You know, yeah. And sometimes you have to teach that and be like, no, you know, that's not what we're talking about here,
right?
You know, if there are other problems, they'll have their own, you know, protest, or this is about the blacks right now, where right. this is what we're dealing with, but so, it almost comes from a place of just pure ignorance,
right? And Virginia is, that's a tough place because, you know,
Hello? I lost you. Are you
I
there?
Lost, hold yeah. On, I
hold,
got,
on, hold on. Oh, okay, there we go.
It's about Virginia. You said, what about
Virginia? Virginia is a place that's kind of isolated in a lost time, you know. Like, I read a piece today where some town in Virginia ran an ad in the front page of the paper recruiting for the Klan. That's like
in 2020. That's crazy. Yeah. Wow. So, and I mean, there's different parts of Virginia. Like, I'm right outside of D.C.
Oh, okay. You're from the DMV.
So it's not. But if you go south, yeah, I mean, it changes. Mm.
Right.
And I'm sure it's like that in many states, you know.
Right. So
in the south. But yeah. Go ahead. Sorry.
What are conversations like, you know what I'm saying, being home now and all of this is going on the TV? Is there any teaching that you're doing or any, you know, letting them see the other side from your expanded viewpoint from being in the city?
You mean my parents?
Yeah.
Like sharing. Yeah. I mean, it's hard because I know that Fox skews things, but I'm sure CNN skews things. I find this country very divisive, very divided, and a president that does not help, you know, help the separation.
Right.
And, but you can't change people. I mean, you know, you can't, if, you know, and I'm not even speaking about my parents, right. but just a lot of my friends' parents are like this. And it's like, right. you can't just tell them to stop watching Fox News.
Right.
They're not, it's not going to happen, you know,
yeah,
but they're, it's like they're good people, but they're brainwashed by the media.
Right.
And I'm
not
saying that the other side is perfect either, but, you know, people listen to what they want to hear and they don't want, some people don't want conflict. Some people, if you don't protest, I can't force you to protest, you know?
Right. So just for shits and giggles, what would happen if you bring me and Damien over for Thanksgiving when you make your turkey?
Oh, that'd be great. No, I dated black guys. That's totally fine.
You brought them home?
Oh, yes.
How did it go?
No, it was college, so it wasn't really a home.
Oh, it wasn't. It
Sorry,
wasn't a
was
bring
camp,
home.
It was a series.
Nah, I want to.
No, but they knew.
Right.
You know.
Right. I want to know what to bring home situation.
My best friend in high school. No, but my best friend in high school was black.
Mm-hmm.
Time. Now I wasn't dating her. She was my friend.
Right.
So, but no, it's not. It's not like that. But it was. It would have been unusual because, you know, most of my school was white.
Right. No doubt.
You know, but it wasn't like, get out of my house. We're not serving him. No.
Right.
No. My parents love like meeting my friends. Okay. So you guys would be more than welcome.
All right.
So if you guys want to come tonight, I'll make another 17-pound turkey.
Word up. There you go.
Where'd
you go to college?
I went to William and Mary, which is actually further south. It's closer to Richmond.
Uh-huh.
I went there.
How'd you like that?
It was too hard. it's like a nerd school, and I had to study all the time. And
it sounds serious.
I think it was too studying and a lot of drinking because I studied so hard.
What was your major in college? What's your major in?
Psychology. I wanted to be a shrink. And I did like an internship at the psych ward and I said never again.
Yeah.
Because the doctors there were just as crazy as the patients.
Yeah, yeah. They say that. There's a thing. They say like on your way to get your PhD in psychology, there's I forget what the percentage is. But it's significant enough to pay attention to of people that actually do go crazy in pursuit of becoming a doctor. I was a psych major, too, and I remember hearing that. And I was like, oh, shit. Yeah, that's a little crazy because you could get so caught up in so many different things and start applying shit to yourself. And the next thing you know, you misdiagnose yourself and you fucked up in the game. And who knows? I done went down.
Yeah,
a whole
I remember.
Hole.
That's funny because I remember studying it in college and reading books and going like, wait, I think I have this.
Right.
You know,
oh, yeah.
I was reading.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then I would just get really sad. I was like, wait, this is maybe I have this. I'm like, I got to stop doing that and self-diagnosing.
Oh, shit is the worst. Yeah. Oh,
and
man.
Then I applied for the FBI after that because I really wanted to work for the FBI.
Oh, wow. Why you? Damn. So what happened with that? How'd that go down? You live near the FBI,
I didn't make it. No, I kept calling them. I kept bugging them. I was like, I want to be an agent. What, you know, what do I have to do? And they're like, we don't need anybody right now. And I'm like, I'm fluent in Spanish. And
hilarious.
And they were like, you know, we sometimes need people in Spanish, but right now we don't. And then the day I least expected it, they called and they're like, we're looking for Spanish agents.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, I was in love with, like, Silence of the Lambs. I wanted to be Clarice from Silence of the Lambs. And they're like, you can apply. We'll test material. So the first part was this math test and this, like, it was like a profile test. mm-hmm. where you have to like answer questions about what would you do if right. A, B, C, or D, you know, and all of the, and it was timed. I remember I studied really hard for the math test, and then I went to take this test, and it was so hard. I left there going like, there's no way in hell I pass this. And it wasn't even the math. It was the profile. It was like, it would be these like basic questions, and right. all four multiple choice sounded right. And they weren't looking for which one was right or wrong. They were looking for which answer, you know, makes a good agent.
Right, right.
So, you know, then that starts to mess with your head, because you're like, well, they're all right. Oh, but which answer would they want? Let me think. Oh, right. wait, but that's not me. I don't do that.
You know? Right. You start thinking, what would an agent do? Yeah, yeah, that's crazy.
Yes, and then I got the skinny envelope, and I was like, well, at least I don't have to worry about that.
Yeah. That shit is hilarious. You sound like you was cold calling the FBI. It was hitting the FBI. I'm like, yo, y'all hiring? What's going on?
I even met up with this agent, you know, because every college has like this alumni association. So, right. you know, they had a list of alumni that were willing to speak to the students. And I looked through all the names and the jobs, and I'm like, oh, look, there's an FBI agent. I'm totally going to call him and just ask him all these questions. And he invited me over for an interview to his house. Like, it was totally, you know, not creepy. Like, okay. I went over there, I answered all these questions, and I remember he was like, do you want to get married? And I was like, I don't know. And he goes, because this is not the job for that. Oh, he's like, you're going to be gone all the time. And he kind of scared me, but I still applied. But I think good for the best. I would have never, you know, I never knew about stand-up. Like, it wasn't anything I really wanted to do. So it was kind of a good thing that it never worked out.
Right. How'd you come to stand-up? How'd that happen?
I was living in New York City, just, you know, hanging out with friends, pursuing acting. I was taking a bunch of acting classes, and then one of them said comedy club. And I honestly didn't even know that that was a thing, because I never, you know, growing up in Virginia, I never really seen any.
Mm-hmm.
So I went, and I watched these comics on, I wish I knew who I'd seen, you know, right. but it was so long ago, but I remember watching these mostly guys. I don't think any women were on the show. And I was like, oh my God, they're so lucky. They just get up in their dirty jeans and say whatever they want and then just go home, you know? Mm-hmm. And I was in acting school. So I was like, oh, you got to look pretty and always, you know, make sure you work out so you look sexy. And I was so jealous of these people that, you know, could just go up in a bag of potatoes and make weird faces and whatever. and so I signed up for a class, because I was too scared. I didn't know anything about stand-up. So I was like, I'm not going to just go to an open mic. I don't even know what that is. So I signed up for a class at Caroline's. Mm-hmm. And then I met some comics there, and then I started to go to open mics with them. But I was really freaked out. Like, I really wanted to do it, but I was kind of freaked out by it.
Wow. Yeah, that's crazy. What was the club you went to, not before Caroline's? What was that club you saw these people performing?
Oh, it was New York Comedy Club. But it was a shithole back then.
Oh, yeah. It used to be. It was a spot. It was a comedy trap house.
Yeah. And I mean, when I first moved to New York, I lived on 22nd Street on the east
right
side.
There.
So I remember it was like right there. And I was so fascinated by this job. I couldn't believe this was a job that people had.
Yeah. Oh, New York Comedy Club. Shout out to New York Comedy Club. That's one of the first places I really got stage time at.
I love that club now. It's so great.
Yeah, no, that's a good look. What else I wanted to... Have y'all been hearing these, just on some random... Have y'all been hearing... Oh, you're in Virginia. So, and I'm curious. I don't know if it's going on in Virginia. I'm curious about where you at, Ali. Have you been hearing these fireworks every fucking night?
Of course. I'm in Bed-Stuy. It's Vietnam over there.
Yo, but this shit feels like... Well, hold up, Carmen. Is there firework situations going on in Virginia at all?
No, I'm in the total burbs.
Yeah,
so
this
no,
is inner city.
I want to hear about it because I heard about this. Why are they doing that? Have they found, like, who's doing that?
We don't know who's doing it.
I don't know. That's it's a bit of a conspiracy. I've been seeing, I see the thread on Twitter talking about that this could be psychological warfare. Like, you know, that they do these in certain, like, this is some military shit where they want to destabilize a community and make them, you know, bugged out, fuck up their sleep, all types of shit. This is just one of the things that they do, because this shit feels like 4th of July fireworks every night.
Fourth of July fireworks last about 20 minutes.
Yeah, this is about 4 hours.
These shits go on all night. Every night for the last 3 weeks. Actually, it slowed down last night. I didn't hear much last night. But the news and the conspiracy theories just started picking up yesterday. So probably, you know what I'm saying? But see, what happened was, you know, it's going off. Like, as soon as it's like 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock, boom, 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 boom. You know, fireworks ain't cheap. You know, it's not like, you know, you go buy some fireworks and you buy enough to last for 8 hours or 4 hours or 6 hours or for 3 weeks, for that matter. You know what I'm saying? You don't buy three weeks worth of fireworks. And so they were going off, but then I heard some like right on my block, like it sounded like it was right outside my house. So I went outside to see who the fuck was blowing off fireworks.
Right.
I got outside and the shits was going off, but no one was on the block. It's like they lit
That's so weird.
And walked away. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, what the
fuck? So you can't even see any like pretty purple red and nothing.
You could see it. Like, you know, you could see it. It's going off, but you're not looking for it because you don't even know where it's going to come from at any given moment. Right. It's just like, pow, 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 pow. You know, you're trying to watch TV. Now you're watching with the subtitles and shit. You know what I mean? You just, at this point, you just tune the shit out. You tune it out like the police helicopter used to be. You know what I'm saying? Like the sirens used to be. So the conspiracy is that we think that it may be the police that are doing it in the get back of, okay, y'all don't motherfucking need us. Okay, we give you some shit. We'll show you. So that's how it feels, because it's just like ridiculous. It's not like kids having fun.
And like, are we talking all night? Like,
all night.
You are till not
3, 4
sleep?
In the morning. I get some sleep. I don't give a fuck about the noise.
Yeah,
I go to sleep. You know what I'm saying? So it's people that's not getting sleep. You know, the message boards are blowing up, like, you know, I can't get sleep. What do I do? I call the police when they won't do anything. You know? And so that's the thing. But it used to be gunshots, but never 5 hours in a row. Never all night. But
they're going to run out of fireworks. So.
Who said that? There must be an endless supply since 4th of July is canceled all over the world.
But I heard the 4th of July thing is happening. Like, there is going to be a fireworks thing.
Okay. Well, maybe they got...
I don't know. It does sound... though. It does sound like...
Maybe they got nervous because they usually sell a lot of fireworks by this time. And, you know, maybe it's not as extensive of 4th of July celebrations all over. Maybe it's certain big ones, you know what I'm saying? So usually, you know, you might have one in this town, in that town, and over here that's buying a barge full of fireworks. That's, if two of those get canceled, then you got two barges full of fireworks that need to go somewhere. Because obviously they're spreading them shits out. Because when I talk to people in other cities, it's going down in other cities too.
Yeah,
it's kind of crazy.
That sounds like somebody planned this.
Of course, it is orchestrated. Because it's
orchestrated. Yeah,
it's like boom, 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 boom. You know what I'm saying? For hours.
Yeah, this shit is just. It's like America is just on random right now. You know what I mean? Like anything could happen. You just got to live through the day. You're like, okay, all right, this is what we're doing now. All right, well, fuck it. I guess I have to survive this and keep going. Oh, man.
It's like June. Like, what is the rest of 2020 going to be like, you know?
It's going to be great.
It's going to be hot than a motherfucker.
Lot of money.
It's going to be hot than a motherfucker.
So hot.
These next few months is going to be woo-hoo. It's already getting kind of crazy.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes. I mean, people are already crazy. There's so much going on. Everybody's sweating. You know, couples are together. It's quarantine. They never see each other this much. They probably hate each other.
Right.
Yeah, that too. So all that. But if you can get through that shit and focus while everybody's unfocused, then you might be able to get to the where you're trying to go. You know, that's how I look at it. I'm like, okay, what the fuck is everybody else doing? Everybody else nervous and on the floor and fidgety and anxious. I need to be focused.
You know what are you focusing on these days?
I'm focusing first and foremost, I'm focusing on myself, you know, making sure that I'm in tune with the things that I'm feeling and things that I want to do and the places that I want to go. You know,
like what, like meditation in tune kind of thing?
You know, you can call it that. But once you're in the practice of dealing with yourself.
Yeah.
Then that's what you do automatically. I learned how to deal with myself in 1992. I was probably like 19, 20 years old.
Yeah.
And I came to New York. I'm from Miami. So I came to New York on an internship at a record label, and I was like in New York by myself. And New York can be a very isolating place if you don't know anybody, you know?
Yeah.
8 million people and then you. So the whole time while I was here, if I wasn't in the office, I was alone with my own thoughts. And life was giving me a lot to think about. And then I learned how to deal with myself. And I was like, okay. And then I came up with things that I really wanted to do, and I did them. And then I was like, oh, shit, I cracked the code. That's what I thought, you know what I'm saying, at the time. So ever since then, I've learned to spend that time with myself because it feels important, and it feels good to understand who you are at the moment, in the moment. And a lot of times people don't get those opportunities to be with themselves. And I think that's what COVID did for a lot of people, was forced you to be in the mirror. And it's like, forced you to be like, okay, what the fuck? You know what I'm saying? And it's only so much Netflix you could watch. Only, you know what I'm saying? Only so much conversation you could have. At the certain point, it's just going to be you. And that's good.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. That's a good thing to teach. I don't know if they teach that at the schools, but
learn
to be by yourself, because, you know, even with my therapist, we were talking about distractions. And if you just take them all away, mm-hmm. you got to find out what's inside, not what's on the outside. You know?
Yeah, exactly. Right. And so, it's like, speaking of school, like, you know, schools where we from, they not teaching you. You don't have enough time to fucking learn about yourself. It's like, you need to fucking pass this test and get a fucking job. You know what I'm saying? Yes. If you don't pass this test, you'll never get a good job. So fuck it. You know, that's the kind of teaching they was teaching when they ain't have budgets and shit. And they just, you know, pulling, you know, their own books and shit and paying for printer paper out of their own pocket. So you don't really ever get to that particular lesson. So you just get in life thinking, I got to get to the next thing, and I have to make sure that I'm not one of these, and I'm not like this, and I don't fall off. So you don't never take the time, because you don't feel like you have the opportunity or the time to take the time, because if you don't make the next step, you're going to fall back and fall behind. So I've learned that shit. If you fall behind, so what? When you come back, it's going to be the next shit. And when I learned that, it was the same time when I was learning about dealing with myself. That's when, like, Cross Colors and Car Kanai was the big fashion rage in hip hop and black community, right?
Yeah.
And everybody had the Car Kanai and the Bugs Bunny Jordans and shit. And up until that point, I had every pair of Jordans, right? But I had to sit out the Bugs Bunnies. I had to sit out the Car Kanai. I had to sit out the Cross Colors. I'm like, damn, I ain't got no Cross Colors. I ain't fresh shit. But I'm dealing with myself. Came back, started a company, did my thing, and we made it pop. And then by the time it popped, it was the next shit, and then you just jump right back in. You know what I'm saying? So,
yeah.
So you don't miss nothing. You just, you gain a whole lot, and then you're able to jump to another place. It's like jumping the timeline, you know, it's like a quantum leap. And if you take the time to really deal with your quantum self, then you make a leap that you couldn't do in regular time. And that's how I look at shit. Like sometimes I feel like I could bend time and be at a place further than I would in regular time, if that makes any kind of sense.
Now, who do you follow or listen to, or like, who are your, I guess, mentors in that? Are there
in that space?
Yeah.
That shit just came to my head. Like, you know what I'm saying? It's not, like I said, a lot of this shit, what I'm talking about, I didn't read or see.
Oh, really?
It's just, it's just kind of like when you're dealing with yourself, you start getting these messages. You know what I'm saying? The whispers, I call them. You get these whispers. And then you're like, damn, that's interesting. And then you may start investigating based on the whispers. But I never read something and said, yeah, that's what I'm going to do. You know what I'm saying?
A lot of times, that's good.
A lot of times I have a thought and then it's like, you know what, let me. And then you find somebody or find an author that's kind of talking about the things that you were thinking. You know, it's like Google. Google ain't shit if you don't know what to put in it.
Yeah. You know
what I'm saying? You have to put something in Google for it to give you something back. So when you go in yourself, you come back out, you're like, you know what? That's a thought. I don't know how to flesh that out. Let me research that. And then once you do your research, it's like, bing, 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 bing. You know, it's like that for me. And so it's like sometimes you might say some shit and you really believe it. You don't know where the shit come from. You just really believe the shit that you believe. And then it's like with my wife. And then I tell her. And then she be like, yeah, whatever. You know what I'm saying? We need to do this and we need to do that. And then she'll watch church or she'll go to church. And then some T.D. Jakes or somebody will say the same or similar thing from a specific passage in the Bible, right? And then she'd be like, T.D. Jakes just said that. I'm like, I just told you that 2 years ago.
That's so funny.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. But you didn't know that it was a scripture attached to what you felt. You know what I mean? And that's really how I move about. And I don't know how to explain that, but that's really how it goes for me.
But that's really good because a lot of times, you know, they say stillness speaks. Like if you're just in your own space, just doing your own thing, you know, it's louder than anything because you'll find out so much about yourself versus constantly always trying to do, oh, I got to go to this yoga class. Oh, I got to go to this thing. I got to go to the, you know, instead of just, and I think that was one of the biggest things I learned in the quarantine is that I was always doing. Mm-hmm. And when the world shut down, I was like, oh shit. Now these demons are coming out from every direction.
Like, remember me?
You know? Yeah. And I'm like, oh, this is a sign to just slow down.
Right.
You know, just slowing down doesn't mean that I'm not doing anything.
Right.
And then my therapist made a good point. She's like, there's a big difference between doing and being. She's like, you don't want to fill your life with doing because that's what makes, you know, it always, you're going to wake up one day or in your deathbed or whatever and go, well, what did I do with my life? I was constantly doing stuff. I wasn't really being, I wasn't really living.
And that's an important lesson because it's like, it played itself out like with the pandemic and my daughter, right?
And
my daughter, you know, she's the type of kid that's always on the phone, always on, like, she has a cousin in Atlanta that's her age, and they will, on Friday night, they will FaceTime each other and be on FaceTime all weekend until, shit, Sunday night. You know, they watch movies together. They just had a phone running, you know? They might not even be talking to each other, but the FaceTime is running. You'd be like, what the fuck? Turn the phone off. Like, what are you doing? Like, it didn't make any sense. And then, but in actuality, when the pandemic happened, she was very prepared for what it was that was going on. You know, we'll beat ourselves up. Maybe we should give her more stuff to do. Maybe she'd be in more activities and all that kind of stuff. But when this thing happened, she excelled as a student because she was very used to the technology and very used to learning from inside of the phone or inside of the computer. She's a YouTube learner. You know, she knows how to be in that space. It's native to her. And then she became a leader in the class because a lot of kids were missing all of the things that they had their calendar filled up with to do. We got this lesson, that lesson, this class, and then pandemic happens, you have none of that. And so a lot of kids didn't necessarily take it so well. My oldest son didn't take it as well as my daughter because he was used to being in the world and being in the space. And so when he didn't have that, it was harder for him to adjust.
Yeah, it's funny how just a few years, you know, and I can see this with my nieces too, how just a few years can change your perspective with the quarantine, you know, because I have a niece who's 11 and, you know, it was easier for her because the 14-year-old was like really missing her friends, you know?
Right. Mm. You know, by 14, 15, like my son's 16.
Yeah.
You're just getting into the space where I'm free of my parents. I can get out and be with my friends and we could curse and talk friend stuff. You know what I'm saying? Now all of a sudden that's all taken away and you're just stuck in the house with your parents and your little siblings. It's terrible because you were just getting used to the freedom of being.
Mm. Especially as a kid because, you know, time goes so slow. I feel like when you get older, you know, time goes by so much faster. So I'm sure for some kids, it just feels like the quarantine's been going on for like 10 years.
Exactly. Right.
Yeah. It should feel like a decade.
Yeah. That's nuts. Wow, that's so cool. Well, you should
teach that shit. You should really, that's like some real mindful shit. I'll struggle with that. Cause sometimes you feel like you got to do something with, I think I might be too impatient to be still and to wait for the revelation or whatever, or the inner voice. Sometimes I be trying to beat the inner voice to the punch. You know what I'm saying? Just try to program some shit because I find myself feeling guilty that I'm not doing anything as if there is no pandemic or any of this other shit. Even in the midst of all of that, I still find myself, even, you know, with people dying and all of that type of thing, you find yourself, or I find myself way more in touch with mortality, you know what I mean? And even find myself finding myself way more grateful to just be alive, right? So now it's weird because you feel grateful to be alive, but then I'm still on the couch. Like, I'm not doing shit with this life. And then, I'll feel away about it. So I'll find myself saying, yo, let me read a book to legitimize this downtime. Let me crack a book. Let me do some reading. So at least I'm, quote unquote, bettering myself. You know what I'm saying? Or let me journal or let me look through, like, listen to old bits or whatever, because in my mind, it kind of, I guess, validates the time. It validates the existence.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And
I totally get that. Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I liked about stand-up. I mean, not overall. Probably wasn't the number one thing, but I realized even before the quarantine, that was a way to kind of validate the day. Like, I'd be in the crib all day writing some shit, thinking of some shit, watching TV, whatever. But at night, I know I got work to do. I know I'm on stage for however many sets I do. And then I'm like, well, all right, then I did something with the day. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, I guess that's a context that I may have created. But, I'm trying to get even more and more in tune with just being still, being in the moment, like I don't want to say letting life happen. But
it's hard. It's very hard because, you know, I totally relate to everything you're saying. And I don't know if it's a stand-up thing, but we're very active with like running to the airport. Oh, then I got to go do this and I got to go do that, you know? And I've even noticed it with like, my boyfriend has said this, my mother has said this, but they're like, why are you rushing? Why are you rushing? You're doing everything like you're
right.
Like, oh, I think I'm just used to rushing.
Mm.
Yeah. You And there's rushing? Nowhere to go. So I just have to do things slower instead of just rushing all the time. Like I'm running out the door, you know?
Right. Yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy. And it's to your point, like going to the airport, doing like, it's tedious shit, but it's just movement. You know what I mean? Because it's a distraction. It's a distraction, so you don't have to.
It's
just,
a distraction.
Yeah. You got to sit there and wait for whatever you're looking forward to, you know? Like, after all of that rushing and shit like that, if I'm going to a show, doing a gig or whatever, I'm more like a weekend, and I fly in, and I settle in a hotel, and then it's the first night of the shows, and then I'm backstage, ready to go on stage, and there's that time where, like, the feature, whomever's on stage doing their time, and you're just in there with the little 25, 30 minutes before you hit the stage, you know, you might look at your set or you might go through your jokes or whatever, but that time right there, it should be killing me sometimes because I'm like, God damn, I'm just ready to be doing something active because right now in this moment, yes. It shit is killing me a little bit. And that's a problem. I guess so. That's a fucking problem. But, I feel like
it's all awareness, you know, right, we become aware of things that we do. And then we're like, oh no, this doesn't feel like it's good for me.
right.
Then, you know?
Yeah. I'm realizing more and more though, you know, like just, you know, you just be who you want to be. You know what I'm saying? Like in the way of, just the life that you want for yourself. Live that life, or at least make an attempt at living that life. You know what I'm saying? Like, and move in that direction, and hopefully it should feel like purpose. You know, I'm saying that at this point. I mean, I don't want to say this is a revelation, but this is just something I'm trying to actively apply to myself. Like, you know, like you create your own shit. Your life is like a vision board. You know what I'm saying? Like you just like, today is Wednesday. I could do whatever the fuck I want to do with this Wednesday. Whatever I could conceive is on the board for this Wednesday. And as long as I know that I could bring that to life, you know, but yeah.
Yeah. Anyway. You're a master of your own, whatever that phrase.
Yeah, exactly. Domain or your whatever. Yeah, I feel. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh shit.
Wow, this got deep, you guys.
Yes, that's how we do. It's the conversation.
Good, I like it.
Yeah.
Right.
My therapist said something really funny because we've been focusing on these like distractions. So now I'm like paranoid. I'm like, oh god, everything I do is I'm just running away from just being still and just looking inward.
Right.
Like Ali said, and then my family lives in Spain. I want to see my sister. So I was like, do you think it would be a bad idea to go to Spain? But now I feel guilty because I feel like it's just me and creating a distraction. Nah,
but see,
and she goes, don't worry, because your problems are going to follow you everywhere you go.
Yeah, exactly. So it's no matter where you go, there you are. And so what I do with that is that even when you're going to move, you have to steal time to do what you're supposed to do with yourself. You know what I mean? If it's on the plane, if it's, you know, before you get going, it's always stealing a little. Like, you know, some people, they take vacation. So they work and take vacation. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
So what I try to do is take little vacations within every day. You know what I'm saying? Whether it's 20 minutes here to, you know, just zone out or read, or, you know, at sunset, maybe ride the bike to Dumbo and watch the sunset. You know what I mean? It's stealing time while you have it to get in each day the things that you need, as opposed to starving yourself of it and then trying to catch up.
Right.
So instead of, you know what I'm saying, forcing yourself to do a crazy diet, just eat good when you can all the time.
Right.
You know?
Right. And then you can have ice cream every once in a while.
Exactly. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. You do the shit you're supposed to do during your regular situation, then ice cream not going to kill you.
Yeah.
You know, that's how I live.
I believe in that diet right there. Yeah.
You can go to Spain You can go to Spain.
Yeah, no, I know.
But they might not let you into Spain because Europe is like, fuck America. Y'all handled the COVID wrong.
probably don't want us.
So they might not let us in right now. They're talking about not letting Americans into the EU.
Yeah.
Mm.
So. I don't really blame them. we're pretty fucked up.
Yeah.
So yeah, but if you do get the opportunity, it's not don't go. It's if you're gonna go, still maintain your presence. Still be.
Yeah. Be present is such a big one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As the outcast would say, all day am day. That means all day, any day.
Right. I like that reaction. He was like,
What the fuck does that mean? Nah, that's all like all day, any day, I'm going to be this thing that I am.
Right. Nah, I hear that. Yeah.
I think I'll be ready to write a book.
I mean, it feel like we on Audible right now. I feel calmer.
I know, it does.
You know, right.
It's so good.
You got to put this book out soon so people could distract themselves with it.
Word up.
Like, share it. Please. You know,
how's your cooking going?
It's good. We looking good. We looking good. I got some greens on the stove. They looking all right. They looking all right. I'm letting them braise.
How you seasoned them?
Oh, I got into it. I put I went with a good smoked turkey wing. I was trying to go. I was gonna go straight vegetarian collard greens. I've done that. You know, I've been trying to, you know, kind of chill a little bit on the meat, but vegetarian greens, and I haven't tried it this way, vegetarian style. But the last time I did some vegetarian greens, they tasted very gentrified. They tasted like they ain't had no real soul to them, no struggle in the green. You know what I mean? Right. It just didn't feel right. And then I just did some the other day. I did a braise, this one that I'm doing right now, with a pork neck bone. I went all the way in. I went full slave. And that shit was fire. I'm not even gonna lie to you. So I had to pull back just a little bit. You know what I mean? Because I'm not trying to go crazy with the blood pressure. And I was like, let me throw a little bit of smoked turkey on it, just to split the difference type situation.
Right.
But yeah, so that's what's going on right now.
Shit,
you know,
it sounded like shit with your greens and Carmen turkey. It sounded like we need to be planning a ITC Thanksgiving, pre-Thanksgiving feast or something,
like a potluck or
we're
something.
Just open, yeah. We're ready to open a restaurant during phase 3 next week.
Well, let's start with a potluck. Let's ease into
a little potluck
or something. You know, I'll bring the drinks.
Okay, hilarious.
So you get the easy part.
Right.
Because I don't know how to do this stuff that you guys are talking about. You made
You could keep training us with the being present.
Right,
right.
Looking within yourselves while we cook.
Yeah, I walk around in a robe and talk spiritual things, and you guys put your foot into the food. You know what I'm saying?
There you go.
Yes,
there you go.
Yes. You see how you threw the spices? That's how. That's how.
Are you present? Are you present? On the spices? Right.
That's how the whispers come into your mind, just as sprinkles.
Call the potluck food for thought.
Food for thought.
Nice. Ooh. That's
some
perfect.
Different shit. Look at that.
As you feed your spirit.
Right.
Shit. Man. I'm with it. Let's do it.
That's what's up. That's Carmen, awesome. Where you go? So the new album is out, Vertically Obese. Before we get out of here, you want to tell the people anything of what they could look forward to on the album, how you felt about it, you know, blase skip, or just they just need to go ahead and download that shit
it's I'm so glad I recorded it, because it has a bunch of my favorite jokes, and you know, I talk about everything from things to, you know, more weird things, to religion, to my parents, to my boyfriend, to everything, and everything's on iTunes right now, and it drops officially on July 7th, but on iTunes, and it's everything's on my Instagram and my Twitter. It's all at Carmen Comedian.
Okay.
I'd love for everyone to like check it out.
Word. Of course. Of course. Where you gonna be? Are you doing anything? You got anything going on this week? Anything online, or you know what I mean, where the people could see you outside of the album release?
I have a podcast called The Human Center. Wait,
you broke
You broke up.
You broke up. Say it again. Oh, the podcast called The What? The Human What?
I have a podcast called The Human Centipod.
Okay.
And it's out on everything as well. It's out on iTunes and, you know, Stitcher, all the little podcast places. At Human Centipod. And I do that one with my boyfriend, because, you know, we were quarantined in a commune. So it's all being, we do it in the car, because that's the only quiet place.
And what'd you guys talk about?
Oh my God. Everything from like, you know, living with 8 people to COVID to relationships. We're silly. I mean, he's a writer. He's a comedy writer. He wrote for the Late Late Show with Craig Ferguson for 6 years, and then wrote for DreamWorks. So there's a lot of goofy, dilly, you know, sometimes commercials, sometimes sketches that we do. It's fun.
That's cool. Mm-hmm. That's cool. So y'all get along comedically? Y'all could pitch each other jokes and shit like that? Is it easy?
I use him as material. I don't really pitch my jokes to him. I just, you know, I go, I'm putting this album out. Do you want to listen to it? Because you're in it. And I'm like, it's already been recorded, so you can't change your mind.
Hilarious.
And he's like, all right. He doesn't care if I talk about him. So that's a good boyfriend.
That's a good look. I got one last question there. You've been on Conan, Ferguson, Fallon, Colbert, and Letterman. Out of those, and if I'm missing anybody, add that to the question. Who was your favorite and why?
Oh, I'm so biased, because I loved Letterman before I even did stand up. Like, I just love him. I love his comedy. It was the first two I did. I did it once, and then they asked me back. So it was the first two late nights I ever did. So say him. He's just very dry. You know, he doesn't even really try to be funny. He just says what's on his mind, and it just comes out funny.
Right.
So he was my favorite. Okay. I mean, you know, I love the other ones too. I don't want to like not go back on. But yeah, there was something, you know, there's something special about your first late night, you know?
Right. Do you have your cue card somewhere framed, or?
Yeah, I have my Letterman cue cards framed, and then the blue card thing. Okay. I have that as well. And then my sister is a huge Letterman fan, and, you know, she could never come because she lives in Spain. So she's like, can I have the card, the blue card that he like holds at his desk? You know, so the second time I went on, I got the blue card and I gave it to her, and she was so happy. And then like 5 years later, I found it in her sock drawer. And I was like, what the hell? You said you were so excited. This is like in your underwear drawer. You know,
that's
it
was so funny. That's where it's safe at. It's safe.
Right. Memento. Muhammad, where you going? What you got going on this week? Anything?
Ah, man, I'm in the house. Drinking.
Okay. Thinking. What you drinking?
Right now I'm drinking some IPA.
Okay. Right this moment?
In this very moment, I'm drinking IPA in a very fancy glass.
Oh shit!
I bought my wife for Mother's Day a set of crystal glasses because she liked to drink out a nice glass when we go to other places.
Right.
She always is like, these are nice glasses. And then, you know, we was at one place, and the lady was like, you should take these with you since you love them so much. And so I was like, you know what? And then she has some glasses that her mother gave her that when I drink out of it, she look at me funny. Like,
don't fuck that glass up.
Why you fucking drinking out my mother's glass, you know?
Right,
You know what I'm saying? Like, I was going to disintegrate because I'm drinking out of it. So I was like, you know what? she needs to start her own collection. Let me jumpstart it. So I bought a set of crystal glasses, and I'm enjoying them.
That's probably a good man right there. That's so yeah. nice.
Probably more than she's enjoying them because I use them more.
right. Hilarious.
Because your drinks feel different in a good glass. You know?
Yeah.
Like you
a heavy weighted, you know, situation. Yeah. It's like, shit, I'm drinking.
Uh-huh. I'm grown. This is elevated shit. Yeah.
But if she came in here and saw that I had beer in her good glass, she would probably cuss me out. So don't tell her.
Okay. All right. We'll keep this. We'll edit this from the podcast.
Yeah. So I'll be here, man. I'll be on Instagram at Mr. Muhammad, Twitter at Mr. Muhammad. And shit, I'll be right back here next week in the conversation.
All right.
Love it.
That's what's up. There it is. Shit, I'm going to be here trying just to be. You know what I mean? Trying to figure out how to be still. And I'm a wait till these greens are braised all the way. Fuck with that. It's some Jiffy cornbread in the most immediate situation. But I'll probably pop up a little bit on Instagram or Twitter, D-Lemon Comedy. You can see me there. And until then, tell a friend to tell a friend.
And even an enemy.
To get in the conversation. Yeah. We are out. Later.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Hello, hello, hello.